Shabshablessam, Parnasatova. And I thank my father for making all the wonderful food, the bread. So today we're going to discuss Parashat Ki Tisa, this week's parasha. And as we know, the central theme of this week's parasha is the Egel HaZahav, the horrible sin of the Jewish people in making a golden calf. The subject of tonight's shiur is not going to be to describe exactly what happened, what the avon was. Although I was tempted to give a shiur on that, maybe we'll do a different time. There's an amazing Abarbanel. It really explains exactly what happened, what their intention was, what was Aaron's intention. Why was Aaron, the Midrash says, he was rewarded to become the Kohen Gadol because he helped make the golden calf. The Midrash says that. He was stalling them, and it was Lashem Shamayim. But whatever happened was very bad, because they made a graven image. They made something they should not have made. And this happened soon after the Aseret HaDibros, that God said, do not make any image. So Hashem threatens to destroy the Jewish people. Moshe Rabbeinu beseeches Hashem, please forgive them. And there's a very long conversation between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Moshe, very Kabbalistic issues between Hashem and Moshe Rabbeinu. Show me your glory. Well, you can't see my front. You'll see my back, etc. These are things. The whole Kabbalah is based on these psukim over here. But what I want to share with you today is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, fine. The tablets were broken. I'm going to give you a new pair of tablets. This time you have to make them yourself. You have to fashion them. Take the sapphire, whatever it was. Some midrashim say it was sapphire. You should carve for yourself two stone tablets, like the first one. And I'm going to write on the luchot the same thing that I wrote on the first one. And you're going to stand on the mountain, and no one will be with you when you come up. Okay? So Moshe Rabbeinu carved the tablets, and he wakes up early the next morning, and he goes up to Har Sinai, and he takes the tablets that he carved. Then the pasuk says the following. We all know this pasuk from the Sevichot, from Yom Kippur, especially from Sfaradim say it every Monday and Thursday, every day, in fact. On Monday and Thursday, we say a few extra times the Yud Gimel Midot Shel Rachamim, the 13 principles of mercy, attributes of mercy. So look what the pasuk says. It says, "Vayered Hashem be'anan." God, His glory descended onto the mountain, into the cloud. "Vayitzev imo sham." And he stood with him there. Vayikra b'shem Hashem. And he called that with the name Hashem. Now, the next pasuk says, Vayavor Hashem al panav vayikra. Hashem passed before him, al panav, upon his face, or passed with his face. We have to see exactly what this means. Vayikra, and God said the following. Hashem taught Moshe Rabbeinu how to pray to Hashem. Hashem said the following words. Hashem, Hashem, Kel Rachum Bechanun, right? He says, mentions his name twice, that God is merciful, Bechanun, gracious, Erech Apayim, slow to anger, he does not get angry quickly, he holds his anger, so to speak, which really means retribution, it doesn't mean anger, God doesn't get angry, it's punishing, God holds his retribution, that Rav Chesed Be'emet, he is abundant in his kindness and truth, Noser Chesed La'alafim. He's the preserver of kindness for thousands of generations. Noseh avon v'pesha v'chata'a v'nakeh lo inakeh, etc. He's the forgiver of sin, willful sin and error, and who cleanses. Okay, we'll end with the word and cleanses. V'nakeh, that's the way we end. Even though the pasuk itself says sometimes God does not cleanse. Let me show you the Gemara in Masechet Rosh Hashanah, Daf Yud Zayin. Right, the Gemara describes these midot over here. It says, "Vayavor Hashem al panav vayikra." What says God passing over His face? What does that mean? Amar Rabbi Yochanan, says Rabbi Yochanan, "Ilmalem mikra katuv." Had the Torah not written these words, "Yev shalomro," it would be asur to say such words. God passed over His face. Rather, what was God teaching us over here? He showed Moshe Rabbeinu a nevuah. Moshe prophesied something. On this mountain, Moshe sees an image in his nevuah, in his mind. What's the image that he sees? Melamed shenita'atef HaKadosh Baruch Hu kishlich tzibur. He sees Hashem wrapped in a talit, covering his face, v'yavor Hashem al panav, covering his face with a talit, just like a chazan, kishlich tzibur. V'hera lo leMoshe seder tefila. And Hashem said these words, showing Moshe Rabbeinu, this is the way you pray to me when times are bad, when you seek forgiveness from Hashem. Say these words. So Hashem, you know, gave him the image of Hashem himself being a chazan and saying these words.
In his mind.
In the nevuah. Right? It was more than, it wasn't just imagination. It was like a nevuah. It was a prophecy. Now, Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, Amar lo kol zeman shisrael choteim, anytime the Jewish people sin, Ya'asu lefanai kaseder hazeh. Let them say these words. Let them do this production over here. Va'ani mochel lahem. And I will forgive them. Saying these words, they have an effect. We have to see, is this effect just by saying the words? Or is it something you have to have in mind when you say the words? Obviously, you have to say the words with kavana. You have to know what you're saying. But we're going to see it in a deeper sense. You have to internalize those words. Now the pasuk says Hashem, Hashem. Why does this pasuk say God's name twice? Says the Gemara, God is saying Ani hu kodem shehecheta. I am God before he sinned. Kodem shehecheta Adam, v'ani hu le'achar shehecheta Adam. And I am God even after one sins. So look at Rashi. Rashi says midat rachamim ani merachem. Kodem shehecheta. I have the attribute of mercy. I'm merciful before one sins. God gave you life. You don't really deserve life. He's rachamim even before you sin. And I'll have mercy on such a person even after he sins. I won't forget about him, provided that he does teshuvah. I'm still Hashem. That's why Yud Kei Vav Kei, we know the name of rachamim. So God is saying, I am Baal rachamim before you sin, and I'm Baal rachamim even after you sin. Continues the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Yehuda. Berit keruta liyud gemel midot. There is a covenant, an eternal covenant, with these 13 attributes. You say these things as something that's eternal with these words. She'enan hozrot rekam. They will never come back empty-handed. You'll always attain some level of forgiveness by saying these yud gemel midot rachamim. And because the pasuk says, "Ine anochi koret berit," God says, "I make a brit." The next pasuk afterward, the next paragraph in the Torah says, "God is making a brit. He's making a covenant with those words. Those words are a brit. We know brit always means something that is a covenant. It's a pact that is forever. God made a pact to give us Eretz Yisrael. It's always ours. It will never come to a point when it will not belong to us because God made a brit. That's what a brit is. A brit is something that you can't break." Amar Rabbi Yohanan continued, Gedola teshuva shemakara'at mekara'at gezar dino shel adam. Look how great teshuva is, that it can rip up a bad decree on a human being. A human being, God forbid, was decreed in Shamayim that he'll suffer this year, something very bad might happen to him because of something that he did. Yudgimel midot rachamim, yudut teshuva, you pray to Hashem, he can rip it up. And he brings a pasuk, etc. This Gemara talks a lot about teshuvah and tefillah and Rosh Hashanah. It's in Masachet Rosh Hashanah. Now, there was the Brisker Rav, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, he used to say that in Shamayim, there's a storehouse of rachamim. And it's unlimited. And each time something bad happens, each time we pray to Hashem, we take a little bit of that storehouse. But it's unlimited because God Himself is unlimited. Says Rabbeinu Bahye, in our generation we don't have the Beit HaMikdash, so we can't bring korbanot to Hashem to atone for our sins. He says the atonement comes with these 13 attributes: Hashem, Hashem, Kel, Rahum, Hanun. When did Moshe Rabbeinu use this? Besides this instance here, so where else in the Torah does Moshe Rabbeinu he learned from Hashem what to do?
Enter the land.
What's that? By the spies, Meraglim. God said, I'm going to destroy the Jewish people. And Moshe says, Hashem, Hashem, Kel, Rahum, Mechanun. The same words. These are the words you say to annul decrees. Now, according to many Chachamim, as we mentioned earlier, it's not just saying the words. You know, that's what happens, especially on Yom Kippur when it's getting late, we're hungry. You know, we just say the words, we just run through the words. There are some Rabbanim, the Maharal included, that say that just saying the words themselves with Kavanah, just knowing what the words mean, that already you get some form of atonement. But we're gonna discuss today is that you have to take something from these midot. What Hashem is telling you is like this. If you want me to forgive you, you have to be like me. You have to be Rahum, V'chanun, Erechapayim, Erech Chesed V'emet. You want me to forgive you? So you also have to be a forgiving person. That's the way you attain forgiveness, is by emulating HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And you see that Hashem, He was always very proud of the Avot HaKadoshim. He always talks about the Avot. You know, I'm Elokei Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov. We mention their names constantly. And if you look at the Chumash and what the rabbis say, they emulated HaKadosh Baruch Hu. These Avot, they emulated HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara says, just like Hashem is Rahum, you have to be Rahum. The same way He's Chanun, you have to also be Chanun. Hashem clothed Adam and Chava. They had no clothing. They were poor. They had no clothing. Hashem made clothing for them. Avraham Avinu was sick. Hashem visited the sick. So we learn from the Avot, this is what you do. You have to be like a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And there are lots of other examples. So now, I brought with me today a book. Maybe some of you have heard this, about this book. It's called the Tomer Devorah. Tomer Devorah means the palm tree of Deborah. I don't know why he called the book the palm tree. I still don't understand why it's called the palm tree of Deborah. Maybe someone, maybe a Rav. This was a Rav Moshe Cordovero. He was one of the great Mekubalim before the time of the Arizal. He was a great Kabbalist. He wrote a book, an amazing book, really. And many people learned this book before the Yamim Noraim, before Shana Kippur, because he talks all about the Yud Gimel Midot Rachamim. What does that mean? Hashem is Kel Rachum V'Chanun. Now, what he does, actually, this whole book is essentially to learn how can I learn from Hashem and apply that in my everyday life. Not just with Hashem. We have to be a tzaddik with Hashem, also, when no one's around. You also have to be a tzaddik with other people, forgiving other people, and bearing them, and being patient with them. That's following HaKadosh Baruch Hu, doing chesed, achnasat orchim. Achnasat orchim, you know, a lot of times we think achnasat orchim, welcoming guests, is just having friends over, having a seudah, inviting our friends. That's nice, that's a mitzvah also. That's not the main mitzvah of achnasat orchim. To invite people that you want to have in your house, that you enjoy having, that you're invited, you're machnis et atzmecha. It's you know, you're enjoying it, that's beautiful. The real mitzvah of achnasat orchim is helping someone that you know really needs you. He needs a place. That's the mitzvah. That's emulating HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're doing something and not really getting much out of it. Just like Hashem gives, and He does not receive anything from us. It's just chesed. He's really doing chesed. Okay, I always check with your wives first. Goes without saying. And I think is you have to internalize. You have to internalize these midot. It's not just saying Hashem, Hashem, Kel Rachum Bechanun. That's why it says the Ibn Ezra. Okay, if you look at the Gemara that I just mentioned, it says Hashem showed Moshe Rabbeinu that he was wrapped in a talit. God showed the Nevoah as if Hashem was wearing a talit, saying Kel Rachum Bechanun. Why a talit? Why can't Hashem just say the midot without the talit? The answer is because the talit represents the fact that these words that I'm saying, I'm going to wrap myself in those words. Well, why do we put the talit over our head? It's not just for kavanah. It's I'm taking the tefillah and I'm immersing myself in the tefillah. This is who I am. This is who I want to be. Ask the Ibn Ezra, if so, why don't we wear the talit the whole day? So if we wear tzitzit under our garment, you see it, you don't see it. Should you wear it over your garment? You're Hasidic, you're Sephardic, etc. But let's wear the big talit all day. Someone actually told me that the Taimani Minhag in Yemen, they used to actually wear a talit gadol, but it was a special, like, everyday garment that they wore. They'd have the one for the tefillah, but in the street they'd wear a talit gadol. And they'd wear it in such a way that it wouldn't fall off, you know, they'd wrap it on their shoulder, and they used to wear the talit the whole day, you know, in the old generation. But says the Ibn Ezra a different reason. He says, we wear it during tefillah, only during tefillah, to teach us a lesson. That don't think that these words are just magical words. עשה צלח לנו אבינו כי חטאנו. You know, הרוצה בתשובה ברך עלינו. And I just say these words, and if I just say the magic potion, God will answer me. You have to wrap yourself in the talit during tefillah. It's Hashem is teaching you a lesson. The tefillah, you have to surround yourself with the tefillah, and you have to make the tefillah a part of you. So that being said, I just want to learn with you a little bit tonight. We can't go through the whole book, obviously, the Tomer Devorah, although it's not a very long book, but it's not an easy book. As we know in the Sidur, we read a pasuk in Micha. But the pasuk says, it's actually the sister pasuk of Hashem Kel Rachum Vechanun. What does the pasuk say? Mi el kamocha nosei avon ve'over atpesha lishayit nachalato lo hezik la'adapo. Okay, it's a very similar theme to what we just said, the 13 attributes. If you look in the Sidur, they usually put them together. It says mi kel kamocha Hashem nosei avon Kel Rachum Vechanun, etc. They go together, these psukim. Although this pasuk is in Micha, it's in the Navi. So the Tomer Devorah takes each one of these words. There are 13 attributes here as well in this pasuk, and they correspond to the Yud Gimel Midot in the Torah. And the Tomer Devorah starts his book saying that you can't just emulate Hashem spiritually. The neshama that God gave us and the body that He gave us, they correspond to the upper worlds. Okay, that's a different topic. But the actions that a Jew performs have to also be in sync with the way Hashem performs his own actions. You have to be like Hashem. You have to emulate HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he takes the first thing. It says, Mi El Kamocha. Who is like you, God? Who is like you, Hashem? Nosei Avon, that you bear our sin. The Over Al Pesha, and you overlook our transgressions. The She'erit Nachalato, for whoever is remaining here, any Jews that are remaining, and God does not get angry forever, etc. Let's take the first one, Mi El Kamocha. Who is like you, Hashem? Says the Tomer Devorah, he says, this Midah, this is a really amazing thing. He says, this Midah, we're telling Hashem, no one's like you, Hashem, the way you bear sin. No one's like you. What did he mean by that? What does the Navi mean? What are we supposed to learn from this? He says, this shows you that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Melech Ne'elav. He is a king that is constantly being insulted and constantly being humiliated. Although God is above humiliation, He has no feelings. He's above these concepts. But His Kavod is constantly being undermined. Where do we see this? Sovel elbon ma shelo yechileu ra'ayon. God, He is insulted, and we can't even understand it. It's beyond recognition. So he says like this: think about everything that takes place in our everyday lives. Nothing is hidden from Hashem's hashgacha. God is constantly watching every one of us, and He knows everything that we're doing. And there is no moment, says the Tomer Devorah, in rega shelo yeh adam nizon umitkayem mikoach elyon hashofei alav. There is no moment that a person is not getting sustenance from Hashem. God is constantly giving you life. Every second of your life, He's giving you life. He didn't just create you and leave you. He's constantly creating you. God constantly renews the creation. He's renewing you yourself. And there's no moment that God cuts the shefa, this influx that He's giving you. So now, take a person that sins. Think about this amazing thing. A person sins. Okay, let's say he goes to the restaurant next door. He buys a steak, non-kosher steak. So now God allows his hands to work, his mouth to work, his tongue to work, his brain to work, the lungs to work. He's still giving you bracha and still giving you life even as you're rebelling against them. He says, even though man is sinning with that gift that God gave him, the limb that God gave him, God does not take that away from you. Then say, hey, you're sinning here. I shouldn't let you use your eyes. I shouldn't let you use your mouth. I should make your hand not work anymore. God does not prevent you from sinning, and He doesn't just stop the life that He really should. If you think about it, you're rebelling against Him. You know, it's like That's like someone walking into a car dealership and just like, you know, start damaging the car. You know? That's a bad mashal. I have to think about it. I have to work it out. I just thought of it now. But anyway, you're going against the person you're trying to please. And he's still giving you. Ah, very good. Very good. So, but the thing is, Hashem doesn't have to be kind to you. He's still giving you bracha as you're doing the sin. He's still blessing you. It's hard to fathom. You're right. God created a system of bechira, but basically He's patient with you. That way you can do teshuvah. He lets you sin and He gives you life because He's waiting for you to do teshuvah. But He says here, God, he takes this elbon, this humiliation, and He still gives you your limbs. He lets it work. And man is using that bracha that God gives him, and he's rebelling. But Hashem lets it happen. Hakadosh Baruch Hu soven. Now, velo tomar sheino yachol limno menu atova. Maybe you'll say, well, God, you know, God won't do that, or He can't do that. He says, Chas v'shalom, obviously God can do anything. Kshareg v'kocho berega kememren liyabesh yadav v'raglav. God can make a person, his hands not work, and his legs not work. And there's an example in the Tanakh where this happened. Ke'ein sha'asa liyarov'am. It was a king, Yarov'am, who took the Jews to do Avodah Zarah. He split up the kingdom, this guy, Yarov'am. And he did a public display of Avodah Zarah. And what happens? The Navi comes, and the Navi tells them, you know, God says this is wrong what you're doing. And if you don't stop this, your hand won't work anymore. And that God dried up his hand. That's what it says. He dried up his hand. The Abish Yadav Raglav. Now the thing is, V'im kol zeh shakoh biyadol ahzir hakoach hanishpahu. V'aya lo lomar kevan shatach hoten negdi nechada b'shachah v'lo b'shani. Now God does not say, He is patient with you. And He says, He's sinning, He's going against me, I'm going to let Him sin, and I'm still going to give Him life, and I'm still going to let His body work, and let His limbs work. God still gives the good. God still is blessing you. This is something that we can't even understand. This kindness and patience. Patience, really, is what it is. The angels call God, when they praise Hashem, they call Him the God that is insulted. He's Melech Aluv. That's why we say, says the Tomer Devorah, Mi El Kamocha. Who is like you, Hashem, that you bear sin? Who does such things? That you're rebelling against Him and He's still giving you good? So now how are we supposed to apply this in our everyday lives? He says, God is Bal Chesed Umetiv. God is kind and He gives. El Bal Koach Linakem Bilasovet Shelcha. God really could take revenge. God waits for you to do teshuvah. He says, this is what we have to learn from this. Says the Tomer Dvorah, this is a key word in this book, is Savlanut. Patience. Savlanut. Waiting. Be patient. Because in your everyday life, someone mistreats you. Or insults you. So something you should not have said. So it goes without saying you should not take revenge. That's asur. Or bear a grudge. You're not supposed to bear a grudge. You're not supposed to be angry at him. But to continue giving him good and being nice to him, even though the guy mistreated you, that's a godly midah. That's already, you're being like a Kadosh Baruch Hu. To overlook what someone did to you and be good, nice to them, continue to be nice, not even to just stay away from them, not harm them. That goes without saying. To actually give good, you're emulating HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why we say, Mi El Kamocha, there's no one like you, Hashem, that would do such a thing. That's the first thing. Anyone have any questions? Someone had? Now, it says, Nose Avon. The next Midah says that God carries our sin. And this gets a little spiritual over here. Nose Avon, God lifts our sin. What does that mean? He bears our sin. God bears your sin. So it's as if He sinned. What does that mean? God bears your sin. So he says this is an even higher madrega than what we just said. Besides the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu lets you live.
Does He transform it into something else?
So we'll see. We'll see. Not yet. That's already with teshuva me'ahava. The person really does a sincere teshuva. It says like this. As we mentioned, a man, we give a shiur every Sunday morning, Nefesh HaChaim. Nefesh HaChaim talks about how the soul, the human soul, the Jewish soul, is connected to all of the upper worlds. And everything that you do has a spiritual effect. And this is something that is true and very clear. That when you do a sin, or you do a mitzvah, there are spiritual entities that are created. Now he says here, remember we're talking about sinning. Moshe Rabbeinu was praying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem Kel Rachum V'Chanun Erech HaPayim. He even said Noseh Avon. In the one in Pasuk and Michal also says Noseh Avon. Noseh Avon means he bears our sin. So he says like this: anything that man does, he creates. We know if you do a mitzvah, it says Asalo Mitzvah Konelo Praklit. If you do a mitzvah, you make for yourself a malach. You make for yourself some type of spiritual positive energy. Yeah, there's a malach that's created. That the opposite is true as well. Sharei lo yaseh adam avon shelo yivram mashchit. Man does not do something, a sin, that does not create a mashchit. If you make a sin, there's also some type of negative force that's created. It's created. You actually create something that did not exist before. You created something.
Where does it exist?
I don't know. It hovers over you. It hovers over your neshama. They say that Baba Sali, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, okay, was able to see these things. Okay, and there's a story that was told one time. He was with a big Tamid Chacham in his house, and some guy walked into his house, and the Baba Sali made sure that he left. Baba Sali was usually Machnis Orchim and lets everybody come in, yalla, hilula every day, okay, food and everything. This guy, he literally took him out of the house. Can't be in the house. So his Talmid said, Harav, makarapo. He said, you know, let me just tell you a story about my grandfather, the Abir Yaakov, Rabbi Yaakov Abu Chatzera, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, the governor of Morocco. He was a Jewish governor, but he abused his authority, and he was very mean to the Jews. He was, you know, saying bad things about them in order to find favor in the eyes of the king. And he was a big Rasha, Bikitsur, he was a Rasha. Avir Yaakov also threw him out of his house. Because he had like 2,000 mechablim next to him. And when he saw this guy, he got so scared of these malachei chabala, these bad angels that came along with him, he threw him out of the house. So Baba Sali says, Avir Yaakov threw out because of these few thousand, this guy came in with 20,000 of them. Says this guy does not belong here. Stay away from this guy. Okay? Now if the guy wants to do teshuvah, when you do teshuvah, you erase them. That's the koach of teshuvah. We're gonna describe this a little bit over here. A person makes a sin, he makes a mashchit. Kiditnan, it says in the Pirkei Avot, ha'over avera achat koneh lo kategor echad. If a person sins, he buys for himself a prosecutor. Kategor. After a person goes to Shamayim, so he has all these malachim, beautiful malachim, and he has the other malachim also. You know, and each, and they're kategor. They're saying, no, he created me. You remember on that day in November, you remember? Okay?
You looked at that girl.
2006. Boy. Okay, you remember that? And the guy forgot about it. Everyone forgot about it. But the malach is, he's created. Okay, he didn't forget about himself. He is a creation of you. And the guy, unfortunately, passed away without destroying him. Okay, just a disclaimer, anything that has been created can be destroyed, okay? And every mitzvah, if you do a mitzvah, it's forever yours. If you do a mitzvah, it's always going to be yours. Avera doesn't always have to be yours. You can get rid of the avera. You can get rid of these mashchitim. You can lose a mitzvah only if you regret doing the mitzvah. If you say, why didn't I come to shiur? I could have been, I missed a, you know, that ball game or whatever, you know? Even I had tickets.
Even if it's a thought, like you didn't like.
If you really, if you regret it, if you think about it, and you say, I shouldn't say that. That's okay. That's being a tzaddik. If you know. So that's very hard to do teshuvah when you speak lashon hara is bad.
Can you get your mitzvah if you speak lashon hara on someone?
Possibly. It depends how much damage you did to them. The chovot alavavot says that when people go to shamayim, they're gonna see lots of mitzvot that they never did. Don't you remember? You finished Shas and you did this. Not me. Are you talking to me? says, no, because someone spoke Lashon Hara about you, and he did you a lot of damage, and he did that mitzvah. So you take his mitzvah. It's like God has his... That,
so maybe we should all talk Lashon Hara about each other, so I can have, we can all switch off. I did brachot, you did masachet.
I'll stick with my own mitzvah. So now the thing is, there are mashkitim over here, okay? So now the problem is, you created this mashkit. Now, if something is created, it has to be sustained. How do anything that God creates has to have sustenance? Even the malachim, God gives them life. Also, says the Talmud Devorah, he says, this malach goes to Hashem and says, "The guy over there, he made me. Okay, you have to support me. How am I going to live? Nothing can exist without Hashem. Now the problem is, who is going to sustain this guy?" So Hashem really should say, "Eni zam mashchitim. Do you think I'm going to sustain you? You're a mashchit. I didn't make you. Yelech etzel misha asao vitparnes mimenu. Go to the guy that made you and let him give you parnasa. Let him take care of you." Now, what would have happened? God forbid. Okay, these are things that you have to have a tradition that these things. You know, this is from the Zohar. All these things over here. This is we couldn't know these things with our own sechel. It would take your soul and sustain itself with your neshama, and a person would leave this world just for one sin. You sin against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what right do you have? You know, so the mashkit really should just take your soul. Or God will punish you. Eventually, this mashkit, you know, will end. Now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not do this. In HaKadosh Baruch Hu Oseken, Hashem does not do this. Ella what? He is Nose Avon. He bears your Avon that you did.
What kind of sustenance?
He allows it to exist. He still gives it the existence.
He doesn't create it. I mean, we have to create it.
It's created, and God sustains it, and doesn't punish you with it. Really, it might take your life. God says, "No, you know what? I'll take care of him because I'm patient." Okay. Now there are three things you can do to get rid of this mashkit. Now you can do teshuva. That's the best. You do it immediately teshuva, and God forgives you right away if you do the proper teshuva. You can get rid of him and annul him with sigufav. Now sigufav literally means with, like, you know, punishing yourself. Okay, now punishing yourself, okay, I'm not talking about fasting, not lashes, anything of that sort. Sigufim can mean you go to bed a little bit later, you study another half hour. You know, you're really tired, take a sefer, learn for a half hour. That's sigufim. That's called a siguf. Doing something for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know, having regret of your sins. That's also sigufim. You punish yourself. The first way to get rid of this mashkit is for you to get rid of it with your teshuvah. Or God, okay, can take the person's life. That's another way to get rid of it. But we don't want that either. Or eventually in Geinam, if God didn't punish the person in this world, he'll get him in the next world. If you do teshuvah, so you're scot-free. Then God is no longer noseh avon. They say the story with the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, that he was traveling, and he was in a city. He was a tremendous rabbi, big Tamid Chacham, and some guy saw the Or HaChaim HaKadosh and started insulting him. He didn't realize he was such a big rabbi. The guy obviously wasn't a very ethical guy. He was insulting, saying horrible things to Or HaChaim HaKadosh. And this went on for a few days. Eventually, this guy ended up suffering a lot because of it. You know, when the king found out about it, he punished this individual. But in any event, the guy came begging the Or HaChaim for forgiveness when he found out that it was this great rabbi. He said, "Please forgive me." He said, I forgave you already." He said, "When did you forgive me?" And I didn't ask you for forgiveness. He said, "I forgave you when you sinned. As soon as you did what you did, I forgave you." He said, how can you do such a thing? He said, you want me to let Hashem be nose avon, that Hashem should take care of your sin? I'm not going to trouble HaKadosh. I forgive you. You're totally forgiven. You're not being really in control of your midot, you know? He's worried about Hashem. You know, he does just forgiveness. Now, if you look at the pasuk by Cain, remember Cain killed his brother Hevel, and Hashem punished him. He sent him off in Galut. So what did Cain say? He said, Gadol avoni min neso. Look at this, again, this word over here. Carrying a sin. What does this mean to carry a sin? My sin is too great to bear. Who said anything about bearing a sin? It's the same words keep on coming up. Nose avon, nose avon. What was he saying? Gadol avoni min neso. He was pleading with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Pershu rabotenu zechonam livracha. Kol ha'olam kulo ata tzovel. Tell me, Hashem. Cain was asking Hashem, tell me, the whole world you bear and you create and you give sustenance and you allow the world to exist. Va'avoni kaved she'en ata yachol esovlo. My sin is too great. You can't be sovel my sin. Hashem said, yeah, I'll be nose avon. You can do teshuvah. I'll take care of your mechablim. Perush lefarnaso ad she'ashuv v'atakel. Give me time to do teshuvah. So now, how are we supposed to emulate this midah? Asks the Tomer Devorah. We said mi'el kamocha is even if someone harms you, does something wrong to you, that you're still nice to them, and you're patient with them, and you're like Hashem. And you give even though you don't. The guy doesn't deserve it. Here, this is also savlanut gedola. She'azun v'yifarnes b'riya ra'a shebarach hotet she'yashuv. Mizei mod ha'adam kama tzarech she'yeh savlan. This is an added dimension of patience. Lisbol avel haverov ra'otav she'hera. A person really harmed you. Ad she'ur kazeh. She'adayin ra'ato kayemet she'chata negdo. The thing that he did to you is still, it's still a problem. And you still are able to forgive him and to give him good. You know, they say the story with Moshe Feinstein, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, that someone wrote very bad, he publicized something very bad about Rav Moshe Feinstein. He said very bad things about Rav Moshe Feinstein that obviously weren't true. And this guy comes to Rav Moshe Feinstein for a favor. You know, a few weeks later, he comes for a favor, that he should write him a letter of Hamlasa, that, you know, he, I think he was raising money for something, and he wrote the letter. No problem. You know, and he said that these two things have nothing to do with each other. He said this is to be like a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So he harmed me. I forgive him. I can't do good to him because he harmed me. You know, they have nothing to do with each other. This is midav of sablanut. So he says, even if the person is still harming you, you know, each person has to translate this in their own life. Okay, it's hard to give examples for this. But he says, this is an amazing madriga. Now, we're just the last one we're going to do today. We can't do the whole book. It says that God is over al pesha. He passes over our pesha. Pesha is the worst sin. Pesha is when you rebel against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not just, you have a yetzer hara. You don't care. You know, Hashem, your mitzvot, I don't have to keep them.
So you do it purposely.
It's on purpose and it's with spite. It's with spite, you know.
Yeah.
Sometimes a person can have a yetzer hara. That happens if a person sins habitually and he does something too many times. Eventually, he doesn't feel that it's bad anymore. The rabbis say, "Asa avera v'shanaba na'asen lo keheter." Person does a sin and repeats the sin, it becomes like it's mutar. The first time was a struggle. The first time you never did that thing before. You have this struggle inside, this battle inside you. Once you do the sin, It's gonna be easy to do it again. Says Rabbi Yisrael Talander, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, he said, "Na'ase lo pam shlishi, na'ase lo mitzvah." If you do it a third time, it becomes a mitzvah. In your mind, you're gonna convince yourself what you're doing is right. You know, this is the right. This is a good thing for you. Come on, you know, you're not such a big tzaddik. This is okay, you know, etc. It's okay. And if you do it enough, eventually it comes to this. Madrigal pesha, to actually, you don't just don't care anymore. You know, as a matter of fact, the Balei Musar say that God forgives our sins in relation to how you did the sin. So if a person did a sin very happily. He was excited to sin. And he really did not have any regret when he was doing it. Didn't bother him so much. It's very hard to do teshuvah. And you really have to try very hard. You know, it takes more to appease Hashem. But if you do a sin, and you're miserable about it.
Don't you think it's also bad, like when you do a sin and you don't even think about it at all? Like you're so ignorant towards it. Isn't that just as bad? Like for example, let's say you decide to break Shabbat, but you don't even think about it. You're like, it doesn't even cross your mind that it's Shabbat. No, it is Shabbat.
You forgot
Shabbat,
that it's Shabbat?
Friday, it's Shabbat, but you, like, negligently, you're not thinking about, oh, it's Shabbat. You know,
yeah, so that's
it doesn't even occur to you.
So that's bishogeg, you know, that's to forget that it's Shabbat, that means you really like haven't kept Shabbat. You're just maybe new to keeping Shabbat, or if you forget it's Shabbat, so that's bishogeg. That's not considered, you know, it's a sin because
it's not
if you were, what's that? It was, but that's not intentional. That's called a chet. Chet is when it's unintentional. Avon is when it's intentional, but you just had a yetzer hara. It was very hard for you to control yourself, but you feel bad about it. When you sin and you feel bad about it, and you didn't really want to sin, it just it overcame you. So if you feel bad about it, that means that you didn't get so much enjoyment out of it. So there's not as much atonement that you need for it because you already sort of like suffered because of it. You didn't even enjoy it so much. To do a sin and enjoy the sin, that's very bad. That's really bad because you're saying, Hashem, I don't care about you. That's a pesha. Now it says that Hashem is over as pesha. He says the Tomer Dvorah, he says, God does not forgive you with a shaliach. He doesn't send someone else. Okay, we have to understand what this means. Ela al yadom mamash al kazbaru. Hashem himself forgives you. It says, ki imecha selicha, lema antivare, with you is selicha. What does that mean, selicha? When we say, God forgive me, what does that mean? Don't punish me? What does that mean when we say, aslach lanu avinu, forgive me, Hashem?
Look beyond that.
Look beyond. Anyone else? He asked for forgiveness.
Pretend like it never happened.
Pretend like it never happened.
Erase it.
Erase it. That's what it is. Erase my... Clean my neshama. My neshama is dirty from the sin. Erase my sin, Hashem. And... You know, I don't know exactly. You know, that's... It depends if you're being punished for it or... I don't know exactly.
It's kind of like...
What's that? So that's selicha, exactly. Selicha, Hashem erases your sin. If you do a proper teshuvah, He erases it. It's erased from the hard drive. You know? He gets you a new computer. That's why David said, Lev tahor, berali Elohim. Create for me a new heart. V'ruach nachon hadesh bekirbi. Give me like a new neshama. I want to be a new man. Create me. Create means yesh me'ayin, means something from nothing. Creation is something from nothing. David was asking Hashem, I just want to be a new man. And every morning, Rabotai, we have the opportunity to be a new man. Every single day, you could be a new man. Today wasn't a good day, tomorrow's going to be a good day. Tomorrow won't be a good day, okay, next day also, you know? And then slowly your days will be better. Yeah, it was a pretty good day. So, you know, no one's perfect. No one's perfect. Everyone does something that, you know, they could have done better, they shouldn't have done. But if you have this mindset, today's a new day, let me just look back. Not look back. Let me just go forward. And just put whatever I did aside. Don't stay in the mud. Chidushei Harim said, when you sin, and you're constantly thinking about how you sin, and you sin, and you sin, he says you're basically in the mud. You know, your carriage is stuck in the mud. And instead of pulling it out and just trying to get out of there, you're just like, no, but I'm in the mud. But I'm in the mud. I'm in the mud. What am I supposed to do? Just help. You need help, so get someone to help you. You know, talk to a rabbi. Let someone get you out of there. You know, but to stay in the mud and think about the mud, says the Chidushei Harim, the more you think about how much you sin, so you're just staying in the mud. You're melachlech yourself. Don't think about the bad things that you've done. You should have a set time when you say bracha, you can think about what you did. I'm not going to do that again, and that's it. And you're done. Don't think about it anymore. It's asur to think about it because it's just gonna you're staying in the mud. The more you think about the things that you've done, so that you're hurting yourself. So it says here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when we ask for forgiveness, we're asking Hashem, please Hashem, erase my sin. Rochet et avon. It says, Kedichtiv, it says Yishayahu, im ki rachat Hashem et soat benot Zion. Look at these words that it says here. Hashem washed the tzu'ah. The tzu'ah is, you know, excrement, the filth of Benot Zion. God washes the disgusting filth that we created. And it says, "Zarati alechem amtorim." God says, "I'm going to wash you with water. I'm going to throw water on you." That's what Hashem throws water on you. You do teshuva, I'm going to clean you. Okay, you're going to smell like a rose afterwards. We're not going to have another shiur about cologne, you know, and talitot. Only one time. It says, that's why it says, "I know over a pesha sholeach mimerech itza ve'over v'rochetz pesha." God washes your neshama as if you never did it.
Does this also erase the feeling of guilt?
You should always feel guilty. You should always feel guilty, because if you've rebelled against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how can you ever feel good about that? But it's important to realize, it says that if a person does teshuvah me'ahava, because of love of Hashem, not just because I'm afraid he's going to strike me, God forbid. Although we should be afraid of that, you know? We should be afraid, you know? We don't want to be stricken by HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
Don't all sins have consequences no matter what?
If you do teshuvah, so you can erase that consequence.
But not the guilt.
What's that?
But not the guilt.
Yeah, you should have the guilt, but the guilt is a very tricky thing, because there's guilt that's productive and constructive, and then there's guilt that keeps you down and just keeps you in the mud. You know? You have to be able to just go forward. Hashem tells you, "I'm going to wash you." So you know?
But
Rabbi Nachman said,
"You don't come to terms with what you did wrong, you can't move forward."
Exactly. So you have to come to terms. Nachon. You have to come to terms. You have to know what you did was wrong. And you should confess your sin to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When we say Slach Lamech, you can say, "Hashem, I did so and so." But that's it. You got to just keep move forward. You know, you're never gonna get to your destination if you just stay there. You just gotta, you know, turn the ignition. Just step on it. You know, it's you know. Now, in terms of a person that's teshuvah me'ahava, the rabbis say his avonot become zchuyot. The sins that you did actually become like mitzvot. I heard a beautiful interpretation of this that says like this: a person can be so low and feel so low and so far from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that if he was just like mediocre, okay? We're all sort of like mediocre, like not a tzaddik exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm not a rasha, you know? When you're sort of like in this in-between state where you're not really pushing yourself to serve Hashem and to do mitzvot and to do more and more, so you don't really regret what you've done. You're just like, you're parv, you know? You're just parv. Sometimes a person sins and he really feels far from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's the distance you feel from Hashem that makes you want to do teshuvah. You feel so far, you say, "Hashem, can you help me? I really feel bad about myself. When I was mediocre, I didn't feel so bad, even though I'm still very far from Hashem." But it's like you go lower than what you feel you should, the level you feel you should be on, you really feel far from Hashem. If that leads you to do teshuvah, Hashem says, "Wow, look at this guy. His avon helped him become close to me. Because look how far he felt. He felt like he was like very far away. Because of his sin, that sin's helping him do teshuvah." So Hashem makes like a ricochet effect. All the avonot that you did become like mitzvot, because they retroactively helped you do teshuvah and become closer to Hashem. Now again, this is only after the fact. We don't say, "Okay, let me sin and, you know, I'll regret it," and then
it's very true, though.
You feel far. It's the distance that you feel, "I'm very far from HaKadosh Baruch Hu,"
makes you
want to become closer to them.
Yeah.
You know, it's like if a person is estranged from his parents, okay, from his father. Okay, but he talks to them like once a year or something, you know, or if you know, once a month. So he might not feel so distant, but when the father just disowned him, then he really feels bad about it. He's going to come beg forgiveness or whatever, you know. Maybe the father should beg forgiveness. Depends on the situation, you know. But that's the thing. That's how it becomes like zechuyot. So he says, "Yeah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he washes our sins. He himself does it." Now again, all these things are spiritual terms. God is not, he's not a physical human being. But he says here, you should be embarrassed to sin, just like the Or HaChaim HaKadosh easily forgave that man. You should be embarrassed to sin. You want Hashem to wash your sin? What are you doing? He's giving you life, and you're using the life that he gave you to rebel against him. You're using the kelim. He gave you a mind and eyes and ears to serve him, to do mitzvot, and you're using those things to go against him. And he still gives you. He still gives you life and gives you bracha and children and a wife, you know, and everything else that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you. and we still rebel against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he said you should be embarrassed. You should just be embarrassed that why do this to yourself and to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know? Hashem should bless all of us into Shabbat. I always remember Rabbi Nachman said, I almost forgot to say, Rabbi Nachman famously said, "Im ata ma'amin she'efshar lekalkel, ta'amin she'efshar lezaken." If you really believe, you have emunah. Ah, look at what the bad things I did. My neshama. So you believe that sins do something; they have an effect. You believe that you did damage, so believe that you can be metaken, that you can fix it. Also, it's the same emunah. It takes the same emunah. And God gave us the bracha of teshuvah, and He's waiting for us to do teshuvah. Everyone on their own level, and He's waiting for you. He loves you, and He has unlimited love, and He's gonna, He's gonna help us. If God sees that you try, He's going to help you.
I have a question. It could be like situations where they're almost impossible. Like if somebody has to play the hospital, they kill somebody else. It's a human nature.
I can't say you can't say you can't. It's a very hard, it's a high level. It's a very, very high level.
Huh? Like from bottom of your heart, you can actually like forgive them.
Well, you have to realize that if someone died, so the Jewish belief is that they were probably going to die anyways. It's hard to understand. Well, this guy killed him. Well, was he going to die of a car? How would he have died? God has His cheshbon for the child that died. And that guy is guilty. He's on. He wasn't the. He didn't do a mitzvah. He'll have to be punished for it or do teshuvah and punish himself for it. But when you have a real emunah that everything's from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem wanted this to happen. Hashem wanted that child to die, so you don't feel so much animosity towards the other person because no one can do anything to you.
Rabbi, in Brooklyn, you know? That guy did that horrible thing to that kid. I mean,
we don't know if he did.
What do you mean you don't know? We have all kind of.
Yeah. I'll tell you. You know, he was. It sounds like he was a very sick man. Also.
No.
Baruch Adonai Olam, amen ve'amen.